Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Kuf Samach Tes. We are holding on Kuf Samach Tes Amid Beis, six lines off the bottom, Tana Rabbanan. We have a fellow who claims to have lost a shtar, Harish Abba Ava Amar. This fellow shows up and says, look, Avad Shtar Chayvi, I lost my shtar chayiv. So, my name is whatever. I lent Reuven $1 million. I lost the shtar. Now he can't really show us any confirmation that he lost it. So perhaps he still has it in his possession. And then, if we give him another one, he's going to have a duplicate shtar, and he might use it twice. He might collect once and collect again. So we have to be careful. Even though he brings along his original witnesses, who will back him up in terms of having issued him that first shtar? We have written, issued him that shtar, so we know it's legitimate, it's real, but maybe he still has it. Right? That's our concern. So we can't give him another one, because inevitably, any shtar chayv allows a person to collect. And the Rashbam points out, so even if we'll insert a sort of disclaimer in the shtar and say, well, you can't use it to collect from properties that are tied up, that have been sold by your borrower after the loan took place. Even if we do that, but he can still go to the actual loive and collect with it. So that's the concern. Therefore, we don't give him that duplicate shtar. Ein koisin leisa shtar. Bamed devar mamurim. When does this apply? When do we have this concern? B'shtari alva, as we explained, by a loan document, because that could allow him to collect twice. Avashtari mekechum memkar. But if it's merely a title document, document of ownership due to purchasing of this property, so then there's no concern. I mean, either you are the owner or you're not. You can't be twice owner, right? Koisin. So we give him that. Duplicate, this copy. Except, right, chutz min achrayis shebayi, but we must make sure that he cannot use this document to collect from buyers, which means to say that Shimon is the one showing up with a claim of ownership on a piece of property, claims to have purchased it from Reuven. Okay? So, we give him the document, right? Because we have Adam, that he was the owner, that he bought it, right? But let's say Reuven has a bank that he borrowed money from, and he defaulted on the loan, and that bank will come and seek to collect on their defaulted loan. And they'll come repossess, right? Since Reuven has no more assets, they'll go to the buyer, to the first buyer of Reuven's properties, in this case Shimon, and repossess his property. Now Shimon, of course, purchased his property with achrayis. He had a warranted sale. Right? Just to ensure him from this, just this type of situation. Right, so he's protected against this repossession by the achrayis clause in the shtar, the warranty clause, which allows him to go ahead and obviously Reuven has nothing left, otherwise the bank would have gone straight to him. He goes to another buyer, let's call him Levi or Yehuda, right? First to Levi and then if Levi, who purchased after him from the same seller. So basically, anything sold after Shimon's field was sold is meshubad to Shimon, is bound to Shimon, is committed to that warranty. So the concern is that if we give Shimon another document of ownership today, based on the claim that he lost the first one, he might actually cash in twice. Because look, when the bank takes away this property, he'll turn to Levi and demand compensation, and he'll get it. And then later, he'll do the same thing all over again because he has two documents showing ownership. So again, when it comes to a fellow claiming to have lost a shtar halva, there's nothing we can do. Unless you can confirm that he lost that original shtar, because we're concerned that he might collect from your poor borrower twice. But a shtar mekach hamemkor is no concern, provided you left out, you omitted the warranty clause. So all it's indicating is ownership, which is fine. As long as you can't do any harm to anybody else. That is the Tanakama's shita. Rabban Shimon Le'Elohimer, you know, even in this case, there's a concern. Afshtar mekach hamemkor, in case we can't give you another title document, and the Rashbam explains based on the Gemara later, because he's concerned that perhaps the buyer, the reason why he doesn't have the original shtar is because, not because he lost it, because he gave it back to the seller. And the fact is, according to Rav Shimon Leah, when you give back a shtar, it's like giving back the field as well. Shtar is ownership. That's how he learns. Oisiyos niknes b'mesira. The oisiyos means the letters, the wording, the documentation is considered like the actual. It's possession, it's ownership. And when you give that back, you have given back ownership. You have returned the property. So perhaps that's what happened. He gave it back. He is no longer the owner. He's not entitled to a new title document. So Rav Shimon Leah, even documents of ownership, we can't reissue it. Unless you can prove that you lost the other one. Likewise, he would say on a different note that Hanoise Maton al Chaveroi, if Reuven gave Shimon a gift, gave him a piece of property, documented it in a shtar, shtar matana, Ve'achsol is a shtar, and Shimon gave him back the gift document, the gift letter. Chazer Matanasa, the gift goes back to Reuven, because documentation equals ownership. Ve'chacham Oimrim, they disagree. You can't just give back the paper and, done deal. Want to give it back? He has to make a new kinyan and take it back. Matnasa kayema. So even if he returned the shtar, Shimon still retains ownership. Okay, so that's the point here, and explains the machlokes between Shimon Leal and Tanakama regarding providing the owner with a duplicate shtar. Okay, we'll discuss this point later, but let's first go back to the first part of the Chachamim's opinion in the Brisa. A fellow walks into Bezna, I lost my shtar. If it's a shtar halva, nothing we can do. Shtar mekach hamemkor, we give him another one without the achrayus, without the warranty clause, which would enable him to collect and recollect. I'm going to see in a minute how he can attempt to do so. Omar, let's go back and review. Chutz mechray sheboy, we delete the achrayus aspect. My timer, why would we delete that? What harm can that cause? Omar safra. You know why? We never issue two documents on the same property. You know why? Duma, we're concerned that perhaps ozel balchayv, taref lelahay. As we explained before, maybe the Baal Chayv of his seller, Reuven is a seller, Shimon is the buyer, followed by Levi and perhaps Yehuda later on, buying from the same seller, Reuven. Reuven had a loan, outstanding loan, she defaulted on. The bank, TD Bank, comes running and would like to collect on their loan. Reuven has no property, they go straight to the first buyer of Reuven's property, the purchase that took place after that loan was issued. They're entitled to repossess his property. Dilma Azal Balchayv, the Balchayv, the bank, will go ahead, Torah Lehai, repossess Shimon's property. V'azalhai, now Shimon will go ahead and come into the Bez, Nomapik Chad, and pull out one of his two documents. We're concerned that he has two sitting in his pocket. Pull out one at a time. V'Torah Lekuches, and go extract the property from Levi, because Levi purchased property from Reuven, the seller, after Shimon did. So his property is bound, is committed to Shimon's warranty, v'taref l'kuchayt, to extract that property, v'armu le l'balchayv, now, so far so good, so far legitimate, but now I'll turn around to the bank, and I'll say, look, let's make a deal, we're going to try to collect twice, and we'll split the profits, v'armu le l'balchayv, shayfli, you know what, let this thing quiet down, don't bother me now, let me stick around on the property, don't take it away yet, da'ikimba, let me reestablish myself quietly, let the dust settle, and I'll be perceived to the general public as the proper owner, right? And then we'll start the same process again. Vahadar, and then come back, Vahadar, and repeat this whole thing. Ta, come back, Tirfan, and repossess this property sort of again, right? Pretend that this is your, this is your first time collecting the property. Umapik Achrina, now Shimon will produce the second shtar, right, the other one. And he'll do the same thing again and again. I'll go to the next poor buyer, Yehuda. who also purchased the property from the same seller after Shimon did, and who repossessed his property, not realizing that Shimon already got compensated for his loss. And so that's why we don't give him two documents. Asks the Gemara, how can this ever come about? You see, when the bank comes and repossesses, they have to show a document that allows them to do so. And the Rashbam explains, you know, the seizure process entails several steps as follows. Firstly, the bank will come to the Bezdin and set forth their claim. Look, we're owed this money. We haven't been paid. Bezdin will summon the loive to the Bezdin to respond. He doesn't show up. Okay, so now the Lachayv is given the right to search. It's called a shtar tirfa. Go look around and find some of his properties. And then he gets the shtar adrachta. If he locates a property which is suitable, he gets a shtar adrachta. Adrachta means to step all over it, to control it, so to speak. You have a right to seize the property. And then comes the shuma. Shuma means that the Bezdin, you know, will activate the auction process to appraise and sell the property or actually give it to the Baal Chayv, right? So basically, it's a three-stage process. The Baal Chayv will first get a shtar tirfa, a search document, then a shtar adrachta, seizure document, and then a shtar shuma, that in fact, he was given possession of the property. Now, at every step of the game, every step of the process, we tear up the previous shtar, right? So when we give him the shtar tirfa, we tear up the shtar adrachta. When we give him the shtar shuma, we tear up the shtar, right? And likewise, when the process is initiated, when he starts looking around and he gets that shtar that allows him to locate, so we tear up the shtar chayv. Otherwise, he's going to end up doing, right? He's going to end up, you know, doing this many times. So you have to just ensure that he has only one shtar at a time. So how could you ever duplicate the process? How can we ever arrive at a situation where there'll be double seizures, double repossessions? Given the Karani, the shtar, the malva, once we tear up the bank's shtar at the initiation of this process, but my heart, the Torah flaw, how in the world can the Machayv come back and reclaim the property? So perhaps they didn't do that. They didn't tear up their shtar. It's not necessary. It's not part of the process. What it is, Rav Nachman tells us that it must be done. Otherwise, the process is invalidated. Called tirfa. Any shtar tirfa, which is the first shtar that the Baal Chayv gets during this process, it's the shtar that allows him to search for properties belonging to the loive, like Sibbe, unless it has the following clause written in that shtar as follows: Karanei l'shtar de malva, that we tore up the shtar of the malva, the loan document, the mortgage document. If it doesn't have that written, lav tirfu, it's worthless. And furthermore, on the next step, chalad rach, that's the next level, that he's given the right to seize. So that shtar, like Sidbe, which is missing the following statement, Karane le tirfa, we have torn up the shtar tirfa, the previous shtar. Unless it has that in there, lavat rachti, it's worthless. And finally, b'chol shuma, which is the final document, which gives him possession. Unless it indicates that he gave up the previous shtar, like Sidbe, it doesn't have the following clause, Karane le adrachta, we tore up the adrachta, lav shuma, that shuma is worthless. So clearly the bank has already given up their shtar chayv. So there's no more collection. Leitzricha, says the Gemara, must be that we're speaking where there's no shtar chayv, because there's no bank. Nobody's repossessing on account of a defaulted loan, rather on account of false claim of ownership. Leitzricha de ka'osi, mikoich avase. What happened was, Reuven sold a field to Shimon. Suddenly one fine, bright morning, a fellow shows up, let's call him Getzel, and approaches Shimon claiming that it's a stolen field. Well, this field belonged to my ancestors. It was my parents' field. Reuven stole it. He has no shtar. He has Edom that belonged to his family. So this can happen over and over again because he's not giving up any documentation. He can come claim today and come claim tomorrow and do it again and again. Okay, so in a nutshell, this explains why we will not issue a double ownership document, right? Even though he's claiming he lost the first one, maybe he didn't, maybe he still has it. And he may use it to cash in on his warranty twice. Amar le Rav Acha meidifta le Ravina. What's the problem? Velamar le Lameim. No, he has a side point here. Why did the Gemara in describing this falsification process, this swindling process, mentioned this point that the buyer will turn to the bank, and or in this case, the fellow trying to repossess on account of family ownership, whatever it is, and advise him to lie low for a while. You have a right to take it now, but don't take it now. Let me reestablish ownership. Let things calm down. Let the dust settle, and then we'll do the same thing again. Why does he have to go tell the Baal Chayv? The Gemara mentions Baal Chayv, even though the Gemara already concluded that it's not a Baal Chayv, it's a fellow claiming parental ownership. But, you know, since we began with Baal Chayv, we're sort of just, you know, sticking to that lush. But in any case, the fellow trying to repossess this property. Why is Shimon telling him to calm down? Shayfli Bayara, leave me a little while. Ve'ekumba, let me, you know, reestablish ownership, and then later we'll go through the process again. You'll take it, and I'll repossess, you know, the buyer's property. Teipik laid the kima denokas started. Why can't I just do it right now? Shimon has double documentation of ownership. Torah, other Torah, we'll use it to collect twice. So you're coming to repossess this property on account of a defaulted loan or account of a claim of ownership. Okay, I'm going to give it up to you right now. And then I'm going to go to Levi and take one property and give him one shtar, which indicated that I lost my property due to the fact that I had to, you know, give it up to the, right? Now you take it and you go collect to your, go collect from Reuven, because you're also entitled to compensation. And I'll take the second shtar and go to Yehuda, another fellow who bought property from Reuven after me, and do the same thing again. Why can't I just do it at the same time? That's going a bit too far, says the Mormon. Can't do that. The word's going to get out. Oh, why is he repossessing this one's and that one? Oh, something's amiss. Something's amiss. Nefisha lei bali dinin. He'll have too many litigants against him. There's too much tumult going on. And the Rashbam says, people realize, v'yitnu lei v'agnivasa, they'll realize that he's swindling. So the proper way to do this is, give it up once to the Baal Chayv now, but actually, physically retain possession, and then a while later, when things calm down, he will really give it up to the Baal Chayv, and now he'll go to the next. So initially he went to one buyer and took it away, and now he'll go to the next buyer and demand compensation for his lost property. But we can get around this, says the Gemara. Let us give Shimon a proper document with achrayas. Don't leave anything out. What about this concern about double repossession? You know what? We'll give the Moicher Reuven a tavra, a breakage, a shaver, a receipt. Not really a receipt, it's just an expression. It means to say, we'll give him a disclaimer document, which will indicate that nobody can use anything other than the original document to demand compensation. So this will preclude any concern of Shimon using the duplicate document to collect twice, to collect again. Kol Shtari will issue this disclaimer, which says any documents, Dibkun al Arada, which will be produced on this property, Psulin, are invalid, cannot be used to collect for compensation, Levar min Dibuk Bezim Nada, except for the one issued today, on today's date. Now we're safe. Shimon will only be able to use one document today. If he has another one stacked away, he can't use that. That's a perfect solution to the problem. So again, the fellow walked into the bez and I lost my ownership document, my purchase document. No problem, we'll give you another one with achrayas. And give the meicher, Reuven, a letter of disclaimer that only this one can be used and nothing else. The downside is that he'll have to hold on to that, the meicher will have to hold on to that document on and on, because if he loses it, he's in trouble. So is that the reason why we avoid doing this? Because we don't want to put the onus on him. Amru Rabbanu Kamei Rav Papa, Rabbanu Asher Rav Papa, Amru Lassam Sekei Kamei Rav Asher, Rav Asher Yisumeres. So can we conclude from the fact that this is not a solution that's being employed? Can we conclude that Ein Kaisin Shaver, we typically do not issue receipts, because that's going to compel him to hold on to that receipt, you know, for all time? So this is really an old discussion back in, I think, Ksubis. It's actually discussed here on Nefkaf Ayin. It relates to every loan, right? You pay back a loan. You expect to have your loan document returned to you, right? So an exchange, right? Here's the money back and Let me take back the shtar chayiv, lest you go collect again with it, right? Let's say the lender claims to have lost the shtar. Sorry, I don't have it. What happens now? On the one hand, you can say, look, I'll give you a receipt. The problem with the receipt is that the loiva is now going to be obligated to hold on to that receipt, because if he loses it, he's in trouble. That's the downside of a receipt system. On the other hand, you can say, look, so the loiva perhaps can say, look, I'm not going to pay unless you locate that shtar. That's one opinion. On the other hand, you could say, no, the malv has a right to give him a receipt. That's a machlekes, and perhaps the fact that we don't employ this disclaimer / receipt system in our Gemara would indicate that Enkeis and Shaver, the receipt system is not something we go with. Amar Lusi, he responded, no, but Alma Kais and Shaver, perhaps typically, for instance, in a standard loan situation, the Shaver system works. So why can't we use the same system here and avoid any concern about double collection? You know why? It's not going to be an effective solution in our case, because, let's just go back a second. What was our proposed solution? We'll give this disclaimer, so-called receipt, to the original borrower, to the seller, right? To Reuven. Now, Reuven is going to have the receipt, but what's that going to help Levi? Levi might not realize that Reuven has a receipt. Reuven has that disclaimer form. Because again, somebody came to Shimon, right? Shimon had purchased property from Reuven. Now he lost it to this Baal Chayvo, to this fellow claiming ownership. He's going to turn around immediately to the next buyer, purchase property after him from the same seller, and extract that property. So poor Levi is going to give up the property. He's not necessarily aware of the fact. Right, so he's going to give up the property. One second. Now, 5 years later, they're going to do the same shtick again. So the first time, legitimate, right? But the second time is not. And Shimon might use the second document that he has in his possession and attempt to collect from Yehuda. Now, Yehuda has no clue that Reuven has this disclaimer indicating that anything other than that single document is null and void. He doesn't know about it. So by giving Reuven a document, you're not really helping his buyers. They might not know about it. They're clueless. And they might give up their property for naught, right? Here we have a concern, the Dilma Azal Baal Chayv Atarif Minid Lekeach, because maybe the Baal Chayv, the bank, whatever, will go and repossess Shimon's property, and Shimon will turn around and I'll go turn around and demand compensation for his warranted purchase from Levi, and then do the same thing again with Yehuda. The buyers, Levi, they have no clue that Reuven has a shaver, which preempts any duplicate documents. So giving Reuven the shaver won't help his buyers. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Ultimately, they're going to go back to Reuven for their compensation, because they're also warranted. So eventually, it's going to surface. They'll discover that there was this disclaimer document issued to Reuven. So if Lekuches Lav, the buyers, don't they go back, Amori de Ara Hadri, don't they go back to the owner, the original owner, Reuven? So once they communicate with him, they'll discover that there was this disclaimer. Well, says the Gemara, in between, it could take a while till they find him. In between, it takes a couple of weeks. Shamat v'achal peris. So the fellow who extracted this property unjustifiably will eat the peris. And, it's very hard to, once the stuff's gone, very hard to get it back. So sure, ultimately they'll get back their property once this, farce is discovered. But what happens in between? Inami, another problem with this disclaimer proposal is, for a case where Levi Yehuda purchased from Reuben without achrayis, they weren't warranted. So now they'll give up their property to Shimon on account of his loss to the bank or to the... They're not even going to entertain the thought to go back and have a discussion with Reuben, because they know they have nothing on him. They have no claim against him. Their purchase was unwarranted. Okay. So that pretty much ties up this discussion. Basically, we had a shayla of a fellow walks into Bezin claiming he lost a shtar. I would like a duplicate, and he has Edom, who will testify to the details of the original shtar, but we don't really know if he lost it. Maybe he has another one, he'll have two sitting in his pocket. So by a shtar halva'o, we can't do anything about it. He might collect twice. But a shtar of ownership, a purchase document, then we're not concerned about giving him another one, provided it doesn't give him the ability to collect twice. Says the Gemara, Ihach ishtari halva'o nami. Now, we mentioned this point about Kaisen Shoiver. Right? So we're pretty much going to dwell on that now. Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven, comes back and pays him up, but Reuven claims to have lost the document. Typically you make a swap, right? But here he doesn't have it. So we say, look, just issue a receipt, a Shoiver, and you're good to go. Says the Gemara, hold it. How does that address, there's a concern that perhaps Reuven, the lender, will collect twice. He will go extract property that belonged to Shimon, his borrower, and sold post-loan by producing that loan document which he claimed to have lost. And he really didn't, he has it. So based on this whole analogy and all these concerns, this should present a concern by every shtar halva where the lender claims to have lost and he issued and it was allowed to issue a receipt to his borrower in exchange for the loan repayment. There's a concern that he'll one bright day produce that shtar chayiv that he really did not lose and use it to collect from lekuchos assets that have been sold by his borrower, and they have no clue that Shimon received a receipt from Reuven. As we explained before, there are situations where they don't know if they bought Shalei Bachraya, so let's be concerned about the payer. The same concerns we had before apply now. So how can we employ a receipt system which can lead to fraud? Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference there. You know why? Because when you are approached by a lender who claims to have not been paid up, the first thing you're going to do, you're not going to give up your property. First thing you're going to do is double check with the borrower. Did you pay up that lender? Because after all, the lender, he doesn't really have a property claim. His claim is really to get paid back his money. It's a payment. It's a money issue. So there's a good chance that the borrower paid him back. So before I give up my property, before I relinquish my rights, my ownership to this property that I bought from the borrower, I'm going to check with the borrower. Perhaps he paid him back already. How some Zuzi Masak, since the claim is on money, Amri, the buyers will say, one second, let's first research this matter. Paisei Baal Choy Bezuzi, perhaps the borrower appeased him, meaning addressed his loan, addressed his obligations by paying him with money. So before we give it up, let's figure that out, and they'll discover that it was paid up. Look, he has a receipt. So it's not going to lead to any loss. Huh, but over here in our story with a fellow who purchased property, and then he had to give it up to the fellow claiming ownership, and then he turned around and got from the next buyer. Hacha de aramasik. It's a land claim. It's a property claim. Shimon is coming based on ownership claim. I bought the property from Reuven. Now I lost it. I'm entitled to compensation. So the compensators, Levi Yehuda, they know. Unfortunately, they know that Shimon will never, in his right mind, allow himself to be appeased, so to speak, and satiated with payment. He wants property. May the Yadi, they know, the Manda Masagara. Person has an actual property claim, but Zuzi Lemafais, he doesn't take money, he doesn't take payment. So chances are, right, so when Shimon approaches Levi and Yehuda claiming to have lost his property, chances are he was not compensated by Reuven, and he has a full right to repossess that property. They're going to give it up. And that can lead to double collection. Okay, Ha'amamar, let's go back to the Brisa. Chutz min achrayis shaboy, we can give Shimon a duplicate document of ownership, provided we leave out the achrayis aspect, the warranty aspect, which will prevent him from collecting twice. Now, how do we do that? Hechikas svinon. Do we just omit it? Because it's typically, a standard clause in a document. Do we just omit it, or do we have to explicitly state that he has no right to achrayis? Amar Rav Nachman, da kasvi hachi, they have to write it out. As follows, Shtora Dunan, this document, the Loy Lemigmi Bey, was not intended for collection, Loy Mim Shabdi, not from tied up assets or available assets. Ella, the sole purpose of issuing him this duplicate document is so that the buyer should use this to substantiate ownership. That's it. No more than that. So you have to write it out. Because otherwise, even though there is no achrayis clause, we will assume that it was included because it's a standard clause. Amar Rav from Zosimeris, we can derive from the fact that Rav Nachman requires an explicit exemption, achrayis to yisayferu, that if achrayis was just not written, we assume it was overlooked by, it was an oversight by the yisayfer. Nobody in his right mind would spend money without, would purchase without a warranty. Achrayis to yisayferu, and that's why time is the cost of lihachan, that's why it only works when you explicitly exempt it. But otherwise, Gavi, he can use it to collect because Achrayis is presumed unless explicitly indicated otherwise. Rav Ashi Yomar, no, Achrayis left to safer. Simple omission is enough because if you have no mention of Achrayis, it's not an oversight by the safer. Sometimes a person will just buy, you know, I got a good deal, so he did it, you know, without a warranty. What does the Braisa mean? You leave out the Achrayis? Like, Sibbe Achrayis. You have no mention of Achrayis. That's enough to leave it out. Okay, we conclude with a story on this topic. There was a story about a woman, the Avli Zuzalov Gavr, she gives $1 million to this man for the intent and purpose to buy her a property. This fellow wasn't the most astute businessman. He bought a property on her behalf without getting it warranted. So the seller explicitly mentioned in the shtar, you know, it's not warranted. So she comes complaining to Rav Nachman, look what he did to me. So he says, you're right. The Tikkun Shadartich. She sent you to benefit her, to help her, not to harm her. You're responsible for this irresponsible deal. Zil, the only solution you can do is zil zavnamine shlebach rais. You buyer, you have to go to the that seller and put it on your name. You're the buyer without a chrais. V'hadar. Then you have to turn around zavna ni'alobach rais. You have to sell it to the woman and warranty it on your account, on your cheshbon. So now she's in possession and safe and secure with this warranted sale. Rabbi Nishum Lil Eimar Noisim Maton Lachaveri Vechshal Eisim Hashtar Chazer Matnosay. Quantum Shim Gamliel. If you give somebody a property as a matana with a shtar, the fellow returned the shtar, matana is back to its original owner. A shtar equals ownership. No, the gift still stands. You're still the owner. Less, I do a kinyan to take it back. My time in the Shimon Leil. What's how do we understand Shimon Leil's opinion? How is ownership dependent on a shtar? It's just a paper. Because we deem it as though the original owner told the recipient, "So the zunus and lecha, this property is yours." Calls man shtar biyotcha only as long as the document is in your hands. So that's why when he gives up the document, he gives up ownership. Maskele Rabba, really? Ownership is contingent on possession of document. If that's the case, what about Nignava Yovat? Let's say the document was stolen or lost. Nami? There as well, he will lose ownership? Ah. Elama Rabba, no. That's not the story here. But Isis Niknus Mimsirik Mifliki. Machlekes says, when I have a shtar, in this case, a shtar matana. And I give you the right. I give you the shtar. So, if you give me back the shtar, the matana goes back. So Rashbam explains, even though dvarim einam niknin, they're merely words. I mean, what is a shtar? It's just an expression of words. But it's different. Since it's documented, since it's formally documented in a document, given the ksuv mishtar, niknin im kabbalas aklaf. So the words in that shtar become yours, so to speak, when you take possession of that klaf. And when you give it back the klaf, the matana goes back. So yeah, if you just lose it or whatever, yeah. It's not applicable. If you would actually hand it back to me, you transfer the document to me, I turn into the new owner. It reverts back to me. Oisyeis, Niknois, and Mesira Kemethli. That's the point of the Machlaikis. But Yom Shimon Gliel, who says, Sabar Oisyeis, Niknois, and Mesira. By transferring the document, you have transferred ownership. Rabban and Sabar, no. Ain Oisyeis, Niknois, and Mesira, just because I transferred the document, ownership is still same as it was, unless I go out and make a kinyan, new kinyan, on the property. But until then, it still belongs to you. And that will lead us into the next sugya, discussing this idea of Oisei's Niknes. We'll see Bez Hashem tomorrow. So in a nutshell, what happened? The fellow walked into the Bezin claiming to have lost a shtar. I would like a duplicate, and I have Edom. The original Edom, as to exactly what, you know, to the details and specifics of the shtar. Now we're concerned, of course, that he perhaps still has that original document. He's going to try to defraud the people here and collect twice. The shtar halva, loan document, there's nothing we can do. We can give it to him, but carefully, without the achrayis aspect, the concern that he might collect twice, as we explained in great detail. And concluded with the idea of leaving out the achrayis, whether it's implicit or explicit, depending on the shittas here. We had the story of the woman, for Rav Nachman took care of, and we concluded with the machlokes between Tanakama, Shim Gamliel, regarding Oisyeis, Niknois, and Mesira. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.